Welcome to Pentagon Solutions on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Here's your host, Tom Temin.
The Defense Department has spent the last 7 years getting itself ready for its first ever financial audit. But it'll be up to the next administration to finish that job. DOD financial managers plan to brief both presidential campaigns within the next 2 months to make sure their audit readiness efforts don't lose momentum. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has more.
The military services and agencies have been working under the same basic financial improvement and audit readiness plan developed by former DOD Comptroller and CFO Bob Hale since 2009. And DOD's current financial management leadership believes that consistency is largely responsible for the progress the department has made so far toward getting its books in order. Under current law, DOD must declare itself audit ready by September 30th of 2017, after a new administration takes office. The independent audit to determine whether the department passed or failed that test will happen the year after. Mike McCord, the current comptroller and CFO, says DOD's top financial leadership has already had 2 meetings with Deputy Defense Secretary Bob Work, who wants to make sure audit readiness does not get lost in the transition shuffle.
It's too early for us to actually communicate with the two candidates under the law, but as soon as that is possible, starting probably in August, we'll be providing information on an equal basis to either side that wants it, and then obviously at a higher level in November once there is a president-elect. So we're going to be ready for that. We are focused first and per the Secretary and the Deputy on our day jobs of executing the mission today, but we are very focused also that we are going to be ready to do a solid transition. I will tell you that when I came in with the previous team, the transition was pretty much about the budget, because when you arrive as the comptroller, there's a budget that has been left to the 80% mark, say, and the new administration has to come make their priorities and finish it off and submit it. So that dominated the transition materials that we received 8 years ago. There was very little on this subject, and we're going to do a much better job of making sure that the new team is aware of this issue, which has moved a good bit in the 8 years since then.
Specifically, the department says more than 90% of its current budget is now being audited by independent public accountants. The audit work now underway includes audits of the 2016 budgets of all 4 military services within DOD. The department isn't holding its breath that any of those audits will result in an unqualified or clean opinion, with the exception of the Marine Corps, which was the first to undergo several trial audits and expects to be fully auditable by this September, 1 year ahead of the statutory deadline. McCord says DOD will make the case to both campaigns that they should continue with the strategy the department has already been working with.
Obviously, we can't speak to what the new team, what priority they might place on this issue, or whether they might come in and decide that our strategy doesn't make sense to them. We have followed the same strategy for years, and we've benefited from support of this committee and the Senate Armed Services Committee to be able to follow one strategy for a number of years, I think, but it's not a given that the new team will decide that what we're doing makes sense.
But the separate comptrollers of each of the military services said they were fairly confident that their workforces would continue to do what needs to be done to push toward audit readiness after having spent several years overhauling their financial IT systems and business practices. Ricardo Aguilera, the Air Force's comptroller, says there's also been a concerted effort to convince senior leaders that becoming auditable would let them run their organizations more effectively.
As a former auditor, what I would think is almost irreversible. I'm really pleased when I go into senior level decision making meetings on the audit and I'm sitting side by side with my counterparts in the personnel arena, in the civil engineering community, in the logistics community, and to see their commitment in getting all of their areas, all of their portfolios ready for audit as well. So in terms of momentum, I feel as though in the Air Force it's almost irreversible and baked into the DNA.
Dr. Susan Rayburn, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Financial Management, agreed, but she also noted that the process has included sticks as well as carrots. Financial auditability is now part of the performance plans for all of DOD's senior executives. She says the Navy has dismissed at least 2 senior officials so far solely because they were not taking the department's audit goals seriously enough.
It's all about sending the message that this is serious business, we mean it, and those who aren't performing, we'll find someone who can. The time is of the essence. We have to have people who can do this job. It's not fair to anyone to have someone in the job who can't do it, and it's not fair to those around them.
Even though none of the military services have passed an audit so far, the fact that they've undergone the audit process for the first time in their history has told them exactly what they'll need to fix between now and the end of fiscal 2017. And the story is roughly the same in all 3 military departments. IT system weaknesses are responsible for most of their auditability problems. Again, Dr. Susan Rayburn.
The first year audit identified 220 major deficiencies, 82% of them related to IT system weaknesses, Simply stated, we have too many systems, and most of them were not originally configured to conform to auditability standards. To overcome these challenges, we're taking several actions. First, we will continue to downsize our current suite of systems, eliminating redundant capabilities. During the implementation of Navy ERP, almost 100 business systems were eliminated. We now plan to reduce the number of General Fund Department of Navy accounting systems from 3 to 2, while eliminating all other non-auditable legacy systems, avoiding maintenance costs and streamlining IT controls.
The transition timeline means the next administration will be in charge by the time DoD is ready to assert audit readiness. But McCord says getting the books audited will require the department to start the contracting process for independent auditors within the next several months. That, in and of itself, will be a challenge. The so-called Big Four accounting firms are the only ones in the world with the resources to tackle an audit problem as large as DoD. And they'll face conflict of interest problems, because the military services and defense agencies have relied on each of them in various capacities to serve as advisors while they've been preparing for an audit.
We have to learn from what the independent auditors say. One of the concerns that we have is that the scope of what we do may make it hard to get audit firms on contract with us for the scale of work that we have to do. As you know, they're the so-called Big Four. Two of those firms really aren't doing audits right now. They are doing the consulting side, which makes it hard for them to then be independent auditors. And so having sort of two of them in and two of them out constrains us already. The amount of work that we have, I mean, it would be attractive work, I think, given the size of it, but it's also, there's limited number of people that can handle the size of the work that we do, and that would be one of the concerns we have, is sort of the capacity of independent firms that have this outside expertise to work with us.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends. I'm Tom Temin.
Pentagon Solutions will return after these messages.
Listening to Pentagon Solutions on FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM. Now here's your host, Tom Temin.
The so-called blended retirement system for those exiting a military career goes into effect in 2018. Long after congressional and Pentagon debate, it substitutes future annuity levels with matching levels in the Thrift Savings Plan. Even before the plan goes into effect, though, the Pentagon is monkeying with it, and that's got the ire of retired officers. Joining me with more, James Sweeney, retired Marine Corps colonel and president of the Reserve Officers Association. Colonel Sweeney, great to have you on.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. So first of all, review for us what the blended retirement system is supposed to do in the first place, and then we'll get to what the Pentagon is doing.
Well, the traditional military retirement is called a defined retirement plan, defined benefit plan, where after 20 years, you get this defined benefit, which currently, as most people are familiar with, it's about 50% of base pay over the last, averaged over the last 3 years of service. What this blended retirement would do would be to offer a TSP or a 401k type of retirement in conjunction with a defined benefit if you, again, reach that 20 years or so. So what is not currently in effect is for those that don't reach that 20-year mark, they kind of walk away with nothing, whereas this will offer them the opportunity to have, again, a 401k type of a portable plan that they can take with them.
And that portable plan would initiate when they join the service?
Some aspects of it would, yes. So immediately upon joining the service, they would get a 1% contribution. As it currently stands, then it would be a matching contribution of up to 4%, which would begin at 3 years of service.
And so is it safe to say that retired officers in general support this plan, which was a commission recommended it and Congress instituted it?
I would say that the thinking out of the box and the foreshaping tools or opportunities that this provides, along with the incentives to recruit the brightest and the best amongst our young folks is certainly supported.
All right. So what is the Pentagon doing now that has got you blogging about this and some of the other officers' associations saying, wait a minute, they're changing the deal already?
Right. So this was provided for in the 2016 NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, and as we march towards the 2017, what the Pentagon is trying to do is tinker with some of this, kind of walk it back, and walk it back at the expense of, again, those younger troops and officers, those that may not reach that 20-year retirement mark. And they're doing that by saying that, well, let's start that match instead of at 3 years of service. We'll start it at 5 years of service. And that's to offset what they would like to do on the back end, which is currently under the 2016 NDAA. That match would stop at 26 years of service, and the Pentagon would like that to continue on till end of service.
So the Pentagon, it sounds like, wants to incentivize people to stay for the long haul.
Certainly that's one way to look at it. Another way, which has been expressed, is that they don't want to erode that current, well-known, long-standing, defined benefit plan that those that reach the 20-year mark or beyond have enjoyed.
What is your suggestion, then, for what should happen?
Well, at this point, we think that the 2016 NDAA is a good way to go. It's a little bit premature to tinker with it since it hasn't been implemented. It doesn't go into effect until 2018. It was well studied by the NCRMIC.
Yeah, the commission that looked at all of military retirement options.
I mean, they looked into this for 2 years, and various commissions prior to them looked into it. And so before tinkering with it, let's see how it does, and then see if changes need to be made.
We're speaking with James Sweeney. He's a retired Marine Corps colonel and president of the Reserve Officers Association. As the Pentagon proposes to do to move the matching TSP contributions out to 5 years. Why 5 years? Is there something magic that happens at the five-year mark?
Well, there is. That's typically when the first enlistment is up. And so the Pentagon says, well, that's when they're making their decision on whether or not to re-up in the popular jargon. Of course, that ignores the fact that it's also a recruitment tool. So having that benefit at 3 years would help in recruitment. Moreover, if you look at a typical civilian type of 401k, that vesting and matching happens much sooner than 3 years. Forget the five-year mark. I mean, some of these vest immediately, and then you can have matches as soon as a year or even sooner than that. And so it's already behind with respect to attracting young and talented folks. And so that's why we would not be for that.
The people that serve beyond 26 years, which is the, you know, the outer limit of what these plans talk about, that is a long military career. And you would be, if you leave after 20 years, you could be 50 years old or even 48 years old, I guess, and maybe have a lot of career before you. 26 years and longer, it gets to be a different type of story. In your experience, people that leave at 20 years, do they almost always have second careers?
I would say that that's the case. In fact, it's even lower than that. You could be 41 or so, or 37. So certainly you have a lot of working years ahead of you. And if that 50%, of course, depends on what rank you are at the time, how well that will serve you in your retirement years. Most folks have to work another career. It's not, you know, it's not a huge amount of money. And that's one of the benefits of this, is that it allows you to have something that's portable, the TSP aspect of it, that you can roll into another civilian 401k when you get out. In addition, going back to that 3 year versus the 5 year, as most financial planners will tell you, it's not how much you save, it's how early you start saving it. And the beauty of compound interest, which has been deemed the eighth wonder of the world, or Albert Einstein said it was the greatest mathematical formula ever discovered, is just an amazing thing to see. And the difference between 2 years when you start saving, or in this case the match, can make a huge amount of difference over 20, 30, 40 years.
I guess it's better than my ability to add 17 plus 20. My other question is for those that have served 26 years or 30 years and beyond, even some of those people tend to go on to, you know, big jobs.
Oh, absolutely. And there is some, by the way, there were some reports that were put out that said, you know, there's this huge drop-off after 20 years. And so with this defined benefit plan that most people don't stay after 20 anyway. Well, there's a lot of factors that go into that, to include how long they're allowed to stay under the current laws. Some can't stay after 20. Moreover, I would say that there are many folks that stay in after 20 or an after 26 or whatever. It's not motivated by necessarily the retirement at that point, but the love of the job of serving their country and doing something that's bigger than themselves. But as you say, no matter when you get out, you have to go on typically to work.
And I suppose at some point in your career, you start getting signals as to whether you'll get future promotions, too, and that might be a factor.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, there are certain limits. So, for example, for a major, you get 20 years of commissioned service. For a lieutenant colonel, you get 28. For a colonel, you get 30, and then it goes above that for generals and admirals. So there's limits that are placed on you.
James Sweeney is a retired Marine Corps colonel and president of the Reserve Officers Association. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, again, thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends. I'm Tom Temin.
You've been listening to Pentagon Solutions. Download this show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Search Pentagon Solutions.